Wendy, look who's joining us on the phone. It's our friend Reno Liberatore, Chicago sports fanatic and film director, who has put together a great documentary, a fantastic story about the 1963 Loyola Ramblers. Reno, how are you?
I'm good, Bill, and I was wondering, is it no coincidence that you're putting me on following the segment about the sexiest man alive?
It's all by design, Reno. It's all by design.
Congratulations, by the way.
Yeah, you didn't win, but you're in the top something, so that's something.
Well, I'll settle for the top million as well, Bill.
It's not the worst thing in the world. First of all, congratulations. I've known you for a while, and I know what a labor of love, but very hard work it is to put together something like a documentary. This is such a great story. Congratulations on putting it together and finally finishing it. You must feel good.
I do feel good. Thank you so much for having me on. Thank you, Bill and Wendy. I'm a fan of the show, and Yes, you and I have known each other for quite a while, Bill, and it's very gratifying to finally have my film across the finish line and ready for air.
Well, why don't you, it's called The Iron Five. For those of us who don't know, why don't you give us a little background on this?
Well, Iron Five is basically a historical perspective on the team from Loyola, their basketball team from 1963. And it's quite an uplifting story. It's a story about an underdog, but it's also a story about a team who had a lot of struggles with social injustice. This team was put together at a time when, civil rights was really heated up in the early 60s. And the coach of Loyola, a guy by the name of George Ireland, who was a All-American himself at Notre Dame University, was assembling the best team he could to try to get Loyola, a small school, to become competitive in basketball. And he sort of went around the unspoken rules, and it's hard to believe, but 50 years ago, basketball in college was predominantly a white sport, and a lot of people wanted to keep it that way. And there were these sort of unspoken rules between colleges and coaches that they would limit the number of black players on their teams. And George Ireland decided that he was going to assemble the best team he could, and he disregarded those rules that were kind of keeping things in check. So he assembled a team, and his team had four African-American starters and one lone white starter. And, they faced a lot of adversity over the years, especially when they traveled to the South. There were crazy stories about, when they went to the South, the black players could not stay in the hotel. They had to be put up with black families that were in the area. When they went to the South, they got out of the airport, and there were separate cab companies for whites and for blacks. So, black guys went to the right and white guys went to the left, as one of the players told me in an interview. And it's hard to believe that, that was 50 years ago.
Yeah.
But they helped to really break some barriers.
What you just said is the thing that rings the truest for me, Reno. Honestly, the movie that was about Jackie Robinson that came out a couple years ago, as I'm watching this, my head wouldn't accept the fact that this was not that long ago. This story about Loyola was only 54 years ago. It's not hundreds of years ago. It's just 54 years ago. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's a generation ago. And, of course, what they did helped to move things along and progress. And I really encourage people to try to check the film out. It's a half-hour show. At a time when we all kind of, I think, could use a break from the sort of anxiety that we have in our country, I think it's a real nice palate cleanser to watch something that's really kind of inspirational.
How many of the original members of this team are still with us?
Actually, there are four of the starters are still around. Vic Rouse passed away back about 15 years ago. The other starters are still around, and I was fortunate enough to be able to get interviews with all of them. And, you know, when I started working on this, one of my concerns was that, you know, I hope these guys get a chance to tell their story. They're getting older, and I want them to be able to tell the story while they're still around. And those guys are Jerry Harkness, Les Hunter, Ron Miller, and then the white starter was a Chicagoan, a guy by the name of John Egan, who still lives here in Chicago.
Were they shocked at your interest in their stories?
I think they were really thrilled by it. I mean, when I first started out, I contacted John Egan because he was a local guy, and it was seemed like the first sort of easy step to, you know, get in touch with them. And I had a very, very warm reception from him. He couldn't have been nicer. He helped connect me to a lot of the folks involved in the story. And, you know, I'm sure that it's a good thing for them that this really great story is being, you know, told and kept alive, because I think it has a historical significance.
None of those players ever went on to play in the pros, did they, Reno?
Actually, three of them, I believe, got drafted. I think two of them got drafted in the first round of the NBA back then. But none of them really played for any length of time. Some of them went off and played in the ABA for a few years, but none of them ended up starring in the NBA. But what's partly a great side to this story is that these guys were not only these underdog athletes that went on to such a thrilling victory in the national championship, but they also were academically high achievers. The five starters ended up graduating with 11 degrees,
wow.
Which, you know, you don't hear about that stuff too much.
Right. So you tell me, because I don't know exactly the climate at the time. It's we're talking about 1963. The NBA had African-American players. It was just at the college level where they didn't want the white kids and the black kids playing together at that point, right?
Right. I think part of it, you know, there were a number of African-Americans who were standout players, guys like Oscar Robertson and Wilt Chamberlain and those guys. A certain number of them that were at a superstar level obviously made their way to the NBA. But as far as the college level goes, part of it had to do with, you know, just still that, you know, all around the country, you know, things were not completely integrated. I mean, part of this great story is the Loyola Ramblers facing a team from Mississippi State in the first round or the early round of the national tournament. And Mississippi State had won their conference for 2 years in a row and were not allowed to go to the national tournament by a court order from the governor.
Jeez.
So he was a segregationist back in those days. You know, he believed that they should not go and compete against integrated teams. So actually the third year that they won the conference, which was the same 1963 season, they disregarded a court order from the governor,
yeah,
and snuck out of town to go play in East Lansing, Michigan, against Loyola. And that game has come to be known as the Game of Change, because it was the first time that they had the opportunity to compete with an integrated team.
Amazing.
This just is shocking,
yeah,
to me.
That it was such a short time ago. Can I ask, I know you were already working on this project when the Loyola Ramblers had their amazing season last year, but you already know this. This helps renew interest in the team and the history of the team. It was great timing, wasn't it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I had been working on this for several years, and in fact, you had me on your show a few years ago when I was just getting started, mm-hmm, on this thing, and there were points when I thought I'd never get it done, and I certainly persisted and wanted to, you know, see this thing to the finish line. But last year, you know, Loyola being in the news and being talked about so much, it was a great boost for me to, you know, like get that last, you know, 5 miles of the marathon done. And so I did complete it, and I think, you know, I think the timing is very good. Actually, Loyola, I believe, has their first game this evening.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Perfect.
And when does this air, Reno? And when and where can we see this?
Well, the first airing is going to be on WGN tomorrow night. So that will come on at 8:30, preceding the 9 o'clock news. And then there's another time slot for a second show on the weekend, Saturday night, right before the Bulls game. So it's scheduled for 6 p.m. on Saturday, and that's a nice time slot for basketball fans.
And someone has just texted, John Egan played for the Twin City Sailors in the 60s here in Benton Harbor, Michigan.
Oh, wow.
So there you have it.
Very nice. Reno, please tell me you have Sister Jean's blessing in all of this. Please tell me.
Literally.
Right. She has that ability.
Sister Jean actually wasn't part of the 63 team, because at that time, I believe the college was split into two separate colleges.
And the men's school and the women's school?
And she had to do with the other school, I believe, at one time, and then they all kind of joined forces, and then she became part of the Loyola family. But, yeah, I certainly hope I ever bless
I'm sure you do.
I can't wait to see this, the Iron Five. Sounds great, Reno.
Okay, well, thank you. I hope everybody tunes in.
Several chances to see it, as it was pointed out. You have your chance tomorrow night at 8:30 on Channel 9, and then Saturday at 6 p.m. also on Channel 9. CLTV is going to run the documentary on Saturday, November 10th at 10 p.m., and then the next day, Sunday at noon. So see it. It's an amazing story about the 1963 Loyola Ramblers and how they broke a bunch of color barriers. It's called The Iron Five, and the man who put it all together is Reno Liberatore. Reno, great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me on, guys.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Take care.
Okay.
What a story.
That is. I can't wait to see it. Although I wish he could hang on, because you guys go way back, but we have to take a break.
Oh yeah.
Can Reno hang on? I have to ask him something.
Yeah? All right.
Some
I know
insider.
What you're going to ask him.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, how embarrassing. All right.
Good.
All right.
That's what I do.
That's coming up. I'll be embarrassed a lot next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, very briefly, because we have to take another break.
Yes.
We are talking to Reno Liberatore, who has put together this the Iron Five documentary, which you can see on WGN-TV. But, Reno, I understand, behind the scenes, Bill told me that you guys worked together on a production of Chi-Chi's commercials.
That's true. That was a few years back. I won't date us, but...
It was the 1940s.
Bill is such an outstanding, you know, improv guy that when we were looking for somebody to be a man on the street interviewer, we, you know, we cast a bunch of people, and Bill came in, and he just was the perfect guy.
Wow.
And,
thank you.
I guess my main question, Reno, is when is the documentary about Bill Leff
that
and the Chi-Chi's commercial coming out?
Well, you know, Bill's got some fans in my family. I have a daughter in Phoenix, Jenny, who is listening online, and she says hello. And I have a son who's been a longtime listener of both of you guys, and I think he believes that Bill is one of the sexiest men alive. And he's married, has kids.
But that's fine.
He's a big follower.
Well, congratulations again. I just wanted to mention that because, you know, Bill was a super Chi-Chi star.
Oh, well.
But yes, he was.
No one directs better than you, Reno, so it was a marriage made in heaven. It was always fun to work with you, so thank you.
It was a lot of fun, and let's do some other things in the future.
Anytime. Thanks, Reno.
Thank
Take
you very
care.
Much. And do you like Christmas? Do you want to win a $100 gift card to Tree Time? If so, you're in luck. Tune into the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow at 9:10 in the morning for another edition of Christmas Pete. I love that.
Christmas Pete. Coming up, the stories that matter with Jen DeSalvo from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's right here on WGN Radio.